Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast, Enabling Low-Cost, Low-Power Industrial Video Systems. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with today's speaker, Kambiz Khalilian from Lattice Semiconductor. Today's schedule consists of about 50 minutes of presentation, leaving about 10 minutes at the end of the hour for audience Q&A. Before we begin, I'd like to run down some features of your audience console. First is the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. The Download Slides button allows you to download and print the slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link to this eCast so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate in today's event. You can simply type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit a question at any time during the presentation. We encourage you to do so early and often while you're looking at the material and the question is fresh in your mind. We'll address as many of these as we can during the closing Q&A session. And if you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, you could submit those too, and one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you. Our speaker today is Kambiz Khalilian. He is a senior strategic marketing manager at Lattice Semiconductor, responsible for the industrial market segment. For over the past two decades, Kambiz has worked in the technology field, developing his expertise in video solutions, serving in various product marketing and engineering roles. Kambiz holds a master's degree in computer engineering from the Technical University of Darmstadt in Germany. Kambiz, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Kurt. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's webcast. Let's have a look at the agenda. In today's webcast, we will discuss FPGA-based solutions for industrial video applications. We will start with a short discussion on how and why FPGAs are used in industrial applications, and then followed by having a look at the focus areas and the trends and drivers in these focus areas. Then we will cover in more detail these solutions in the camera space, video capture, and video display and touchscreen-based HMI solutions. I don't know how many percent of today's webcast listeners are familiar with FPGAs. A lot of the emerging areas we focus on are not traditional FPGA users. These type of customers are used to design solutions with standard ASSP or MCU parts. However, ASSPs or standard MCUs do not always meet performance, feature set, cost, or power requirements. FPGAs enable the design of customized solutions. FPGAs can be used as companion chips to ASSPs or even replace ASSPs completely. Example for a companion chip could be I/O expansion functions or multiplexing between several input signals and then feeding them into one input of an ASSP. So now let's have a look at the focus areas of the webcast and the trends and drivers in these market segments. The segments and the respective solutions we'll be looking at in more details in the following presentation are security and surveillance, display and HMI display solutions, and machine vision. The trends and drivers in security and surveillance are new image sensor technologies, higher resolution and frame rate sensors, improved low light performance, high dynamic range processing, and multi-sensor applications, and video analytics. The trends and drivers in HMI and industrial displays are new panel and interfacing technologies, high-end graphics, 2D, 3D, but also touchscreen solutions and camera and video analytics integration into displays. The trends and drivers in machine vision are mainly through new machine vision standards, for example, Geek E-Vision or USB 3 Vision, but also here new image sensor technologies, thermal imaging, and smart cameras and video analytics. Now let's have a closer look at the architectures in these segments. This slide represents some simplified system architectures. The above diagram represents a simplified surveillance network. The network typically consists of cameras, a digital video recorder, or called DVR, and monitors. NVR stands here for network video recorder. Oftentimes, when you have a mix of different cameras, then hybrid recorder supporting various camera interfaces is used. In the simplified machine vision network, at the bottom of the page, you have one or multiple cameras, a frame grabber for capturing the images, and your monitoring and control devices. In some cases, when standard PC interfaces are used, a dedicated frame grabber might not be needed. For example, if you use USB or Ethernet-based cameras, then a dedicated frame grabber is not needed. Your typical PC provides those interfaces. In previous slides, we looked at the target segments and the simplified system block diagrams. Now, let us look inside of each of these components and discuss the FPGA solutions and the respective target sockets. We'll start with the camera, then we'll have a look also at the video capture devices and the display solutions. In this slide, you will see a simplified camera architecture. The main components here are obviously the image sensor chip, and then followed by a sensor bridge, the image signal processor, or also called ISP, and your video interfacing. Obviously, the video interface also applies to the video capture devices here on number 4, and display devices here number 5. Now, when I refer to solutions here in this presentation, I'm not just referring to an FPGA or a piece of IP. I would like to discuss solutions in terms of reference hardware, FPGA device, and FPGA firmware. So before we talk about individual FPGA target sockets in cameras, I would like to introduce the underlying hardware reference design first. So for industrial cameras, we have developed a camera development kit called HDR60. The HDR60 is based on Lattice ECP3 FPGA. The kit consists of a main board, a sensor board, and various reference design, and is also supported by a graphical user interface. The following slide shows the HDR60 camera development kit in more detail. In the center sits the Lattice FPGA interfacing directly with the image sensors pictured on the left-hand side. It also provides connections for NanoVesta-style sensor boards, as pictured on the left, and provides also connectors for interfacing with Aptina sensor boards. The Aptina sensor head boards can be plugged in the gray and black connectors directly above the FPGA. The board also provides additional expansion connectors. These could be used, for example, for interfacing with external encoders. The board also provides various output functions and formats, such as USB 2, HDMI, Ethernet via RJ45, or Ethernet via coax cable. On the image signal processing side, we have partnered with Helion in Germany on providing ISP solutions for the HDR60 kit. Helion offers a complete imaging IP suite called IONOS and various reference designs for the HDR60 kit. The HDR60 kit comes with an Aptina 720p HDR sensor and is preloaded with an HDR ISP demo bitstream from Helion. Users are able to modify the settings via a graphical user interface or access the project files and change the settings via the MiCo32 CPU environment. The Helion IP can be used with special part number FPGAs from Lattice at no additional cost. So I mentioned that the default image sensor provided with the HDR60 kit is an HDR sensor. And the ISP from Helion also supports this functionality. I wanted to briefly explain HDR here in this slide. So HDR, high dynamic range, is also often called wide dynamic range or WDR. In images taken with short exposure times, you will not be able to see the details in the darker regions of an image. And in images taken with longer exposure times, you will not be able to see the details in the bright regions of an image. So what HDR does is it creates a new image from an image taken with a short exposure time and another image taken with a long exposure time. So at the minimum, you will need two images to create an HDR image. In some cases where you want even to achieve a higher quality or a wider dynamic range, then you can also use multiple exposures for creating your HDR image. And as you can see in the above HDR processing example, the HDR processing has made critical non-visible areas of an image visible. This feature could be key in surveillance or automotive cameras where ambient light cannot always be controlled. Now we talked about the HDR60 kit itself. A complete ecosystem has been developed around the HDR60 kit. For example, various sensor boards complemented by sensor bridge reference designs, various ISP pipelines, and graphical user interface are available. We'll discuss these solutions in the context of the HDR60 in more detail in the upcoming slides. Before I introduce a solution, I would like to discuss the problem first. Image sensor and DSP chips used to interface via a parallel interface. The parallel interface is no longer practical for transmitting high bandwidth and high data rate video. Therefore, high resolution and higher frame rate sensors use some type of high-speed serial interfacing. For example, sub-LVDS or HiSPI or MIPI-CSI-2. Since initially there was no standard in place, each sensor vendor invented their own flavor of a serial interface. So there's often a mismatch in interface formats between the image sensor and the image processing device, which could be a DSP or an ISP or an application processor. Bridge chips are typically used to convert the image sensor output format to a format which can be received by an ISP chip or application processor. For example, converting from sub-LVDS to parallel, from MIPI-CSI-2 to parallel, or MIPI-CSI-2 to HiSPI, or any other combination. However, these kind of bridge chips are not always readily available. Or if available, they provide restrictions, for example, on number of inputs, or they lack some other feature sets. So lattice FPGAs and reference designs can be used to bridge or cross-convert these formats to one another or another. Yeah. In the following slide, you can see some of the bridge reference designs which are available from Lattice today. Amongst the vendor-specific formats such as Sony sub-LVDS or Panasonic sub-LVDS, Aptina HiSPI, there's also MIPI-CSI-2 bridges available. So if you need an image sensor bridge, just go to the Lattice website and download your image sensor bridge. Or there's a form online, you can fill that out and request a sensor bridge. You can see in the table above, there are various bridge designs available for Aptina HiSPI sensors and Sony and Panasonic sub-LVDS sensors. Other than the sensor bridge reference designs, there are also some sensor headboards available for the HDR60. Lattice introduced a number of sensor headboards for demonstrating the sensor bridges and ISP solutions. Now, as you can see in the slide, more and more third-party vendors are utilizing the HDR60 kit to demonstrate their technologies. and offer the customers at the same time an FPGA-based prototyping and development platform. Not all sensors, but a majority of them are listed here, are supported by a Helion ISP reference design. Most sensor boards come with a default N12 lens. Some sensor boards also have the footprint for a C-mount lens. Users can replace the M12 with a C-mount lens of their choice. The lens is a critical portion of a camera and has a great impact on the image quality. As you know, the selected lens can oftentimes cost as much or even be more expensive than the camera itself. Now, there are a number of new and emerging applications which require the use of two or more image sensors. Car black box recorders, advanced driver assistance systems, or panoramic surveillance cameras, or stereoscopic applications are a few. Lattice has developed a dual sensor bridge reference design, which can be demonstrated on the HDR60 kit. The dual sensor bridge can interface with two image sensors simultaneously. It can synchronize them and receive the images and reformat those two subframes into one frame, which can then be received by an ISP or DSP chip. The Lattice dual sensor bridge demo interfaces with two Aptina HiSpy image sensors, squeezes the subframes, and combines these two into a top-bottom 3D format. So if you connect the HDMI output of the HDR60 to a 3D television and view the captured images into 3D. The dual sensor board pictured in this slide can also be used with the TI DSP platforms without the need to use an HDR60. So an XO2 FPGA device sits directly on the dual sensor board and can perform the interfacing, synchronization, scaling, and frame reformatting functions. Another solution in the sensor bridging space is our sensor extender solution. In some applications, it is required to have the sensors be placed remotely from the camera. This could be due to tight spacing, for example, pipeline inspections, or the sharing of processing resources between multiple image sensors. The Lattice sensor extender solution allows the transmission of video via inexpensive Cat5 cables. A small XO2 device can sit right next to the image sensor and convert the image sensor signals and transmit these via an inexpensive Cat5 cable. On the other end of the cable, another small XO2 FPGA can reconvert the signal to a format which can be accepted by an ASSP. Or a larger FPGA can be used on the receiving end for interfacing, but also for implementing a complete ISP solution, for example. Cable lengths of up to 8 meters can be achieved for 1080p 30 frames per second resolutions, and various sensor interface protocols are also supported here, such as MIPI CSI-2, sub-LVDS from Sony or Panasonic or others, and Aptina HiSpy. Now we're moving away from the image sensor to the processing side. We already discussed the Helion Image Signal Processing IP suite and the HDR60 reference designs for the various image sensors. This slide is about our autofocus solution. Some applications require an autofocus function as opposed to fixed focus. Fixed focus is typically sufficient for applications where the distance to an object does not change significantly. for example, the cash register in a bank or a gambling table in a casino. However, there are applications where the objects or the cameras are moving and autofocus function is needed. So the Lattice autofocus engine works as a closed loop. The images are captured from the sensor. Then focus is measured in a predefined selected window, or also called region of interest. And then the CPU will drive the motor of the focus module via an I2C interface. The autofocus IP can be used with Lattice Micro 32 soft core processor or other external CPU devices. The solution, the autofocus solution, can be implemented, for example, as a standalone solution in one of our smaller FPGA devices as a companion to an ISP chip, or it can be used in combination with Helion ISP on Lattice FPGA devices. The autofocus function can be evaluated also on the HDR60 camera development kit. Now, with the increasing number of cameras and recorded footage, it's not feasible to have people watch for events. So video analytics provides the capability to automatically analyze video and detect events and even make decisions. There are also a number of video analytics implementations on Lattice FPGAs and the HDR60 kit. Intellivision and Ronda Software have developed video analytics demos on HDR60, motion detection, face detection, object detection, people counting are amongst these video analytics algorithms that have been implemented on HDR60. In the Intellivision demo pictured on the left, you can place the yellow line, for example, horizontally, vertically, or diagonally anywhere in the image, and then detect objects and their direction and count those objects when they cross the line. Or you can resize and place the red box anywhere in the image. Once an object enters this region, it's detected and an alarm is raised. Same happens if you tamper with the camera or try to cover up the lens. In these cases, the camera footage does not need to be monitored actively. So once an event has been triggered via algorithms, then human interaction or response might be needed. Okay. So, all right, we discussed image sensor bridging solutions, image processing solutions, including autofocus and video analytics. Now, we have arrived at the end of the simplified camera architecture, as seen in the block diagram. On the video camera interfacing, there are various options. The interfaces pretty much define the type of the camera and even often define the application area. For example, IP camera, SDI camera, USB camera, Geeky Vision camera, and so on. So you use the interface to actually describe the camera, the type of the camera and what application it goes into. There are many interfacing technologies available, many directly from Lattice, and some from our third-party vendors. Again, in some cases, our FPGAs are used to only implement this portion or are used to implement additional target sockets. For example, in SDI camera, our SerDes-based devices are used to implement SDI interfacing, but they're also used at the same time to bridge from an image sensor to an ISP chip. In the next slides, we'll talk about some of our image capture solutions, followed by the display solutions. So USB has been very popular for transferring data from and to a computer. Now with the availability of USB 3, uncompressed high-definition video can be transferred to a PC in real time. in the case of USB 2, you were limited to lower resolution and lower bandwidth video, or you had to use encoders to compress your video, transmit it, and then on the other end, decompress it. So compression, as you might know, introduces artifacts, and it also introduces latency. So this is really one of the key benefits of USB 3, that you can transmit now uncompressed high-definition video. So a number of USB 3 controllers have been introduced to the market by various semiconductor companies, but these controllers do not all support all the standard audio and video interface formats. So an FPGA is needed to convert the incoming audio and video signals to a format which can be accepted by the USB 3 controller chip. We have designed a USB 3 video bridge, which allows the conversion of various audio and video formats, such as HDMI, SDI, and various camera interfaces, such as MIPI CSI2, to USB 3 format. The USB 3 video bridge reference design kit will be available through Lattice distribution channels towards end of May, early June timeframe. So another video capture solution from Lattice is the QuadView SDI DVR reference design. We mentioned SDI cameras a few slides back. So SDI cameras and recorders have been in use in professional video applications for quite some time. SDI has gained now popularity also in surveillance applications for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that uncompressed high-definition video can be transferred via an expensive 75-ohm coax cable. This has made, for example, SDI cameras an alternative choice for upgrading existing analog surveillance networks. The existing cabling infrastructure in buildings can be retained. Only the cameras and DVRs have to be replaced or upgraded. On the camera side, you typically need one SDI transmitter, but on the DVR side, based on the number of cameras you want to record, multiple SDI receivers are needed. So DVRs typically implement 4, 8, 12, or 16 channels or more, and each channel typically translates into one camera. So instead of using, for example, 4 discrete SDI receivers in a quad input DVR, you can use Lattice FPGA and reference design and replace 4 discrete SDI receivers. In addition, you can also offer additional features such as live monitoring of all the channels. You can create a quad view format, for example, scale those images to your liking, and switch between those. So due to the enormous bandwidth and storage requirements, video is often compressed. H.264 is one of the most popular formats used in video surveillance, especially in IP networks. Various encoding and decoding solutions are available through our partner network. N-Series has developed a USB and PCI Express-based video capture card supporting SDI, dual-channel HDMI and DVI inputs. You can find additional info on the encoding solutions on the Lattice and N-Series websites. Okay. We discussed camera solutions and digital video recording solutions. Now, let's have a look at the display solutions. The block diagram shown here is a simplified display architecture. Here, the FPGA target sockets are the video interfaces, the video processing portion, and then also the LCD panel interfacing solutions. I will not go into the details of our display-related solutions here. Many of these have been available for a number of years. But on this slide, I have only listed some of the main IP cores that are available for each of these individual target sockets. We offer also many reference designs combined with development boards addressing each of these display sockets. However, I would like to highlight one of our new solutions, which we have announced during the Embedded World Show and are also rolling out in the next months. So I'm not able to take a poll here, but I would say most of you are using touchscreen-based mobile phones and tablets. We can observe also a similar trend in industrial applications where touchscreen-based HMI solutions have gained popularity. You can find these not only in factories, but also in vending machines, gas pumps, ATMs, or white goods. It goes so far that in some HMI applications, customers want the look and feel of a cell phone, even though the HMI is targeting an industrial application or maybe white goods. So Lattice and MicroProject have partnered and developed an HMI on a chip solution. There are several attributes that make this solution unique. Firstly, it's editor-based. So you do not need to be a software programmer or have any operating system knowledge in order to be able to design an HMI solution. You can do your complete HMI design via the editor. You can select elements such as slider bars or buttons from the library and start your HMI design. Some of the other additional attributes are high-end graphics, very fast response times, and also the scalability of the architecture. So based on your need, you can scale up or down this architecture and also implement it on smaller FPGA devices or larger FPGA devices. Also here, we're offering a complete HMI on a chip reference design kit. These will be also available through Lattice sales channels around end of May timeframe. Coming to the last slide of the presentation, so a few key messages and takeaways from the presentation are scale and optimize your power and cost budgets with the use of low-cost and low-power Lattice FPGAs. FPGAs can be complementary to ASSPs, enabling ASSPs or even providing additional feature sets to ASSPs. FPGAs can also be used to implement complete custom solutions. So readily available Lattice FPGA reference designs shorten your development cycle. This is the end of the presentation. Back to you, Kurt.
Great, thank you very much. We are now to the Q&A portion of the event. Again, I ask and certainly we have some good questions coming in, and also if you're interested in asking some questions, keep asking them during the Q&A here. Let's see. Here's the first question is, does Lattice offer HMI reference FPGA designs, and how are they delivered?
To the public. This is correct. So I don't know when the question came in, so I just in the last slide discussed one of the HMI solutions that are available on Lattice FPGAs, and even a complete reference design development kit is available for that. So the presentation also includes a link, or you can just go to Lattice website and type in HMI, and it will take you to this HMI page. There are different vendors that we work with, different solution providers. The one here I just discussed is from MicroProject. So the development kit and evaluation versions of all the designs are available from Lattice.
There was a question on the ASSP mnemonic. Was that application-specific processor or something else?
Yes, so exactly. So that is application-specific processor. So if a chip has been designed to perform a specific task, it could be an image signal processor, for example, then that would be, in general terms, an application-specific processor. It's designed to perform specific tasks.
Okay, great. In one of your slides, you mentioned 2D, 3D graphics support. Can you talk a little bit more about what might be available there?
Right. So the HMI solution that we are offering includes a 2D graphic accelerator. But in general, I had also mentioned earlier, so a lot of people are using now touchscreen-based cell phones, mobile phones, and tablets, and are very comfortable and expect this high-end graphic also, for example, from their control display in their automobile. They want nice graphic there as well. And, of course, the response times are key. If you want to select an option or a feature, you expect the touchscreen to react fast, but also the event to happen quickly. So this is where, let's say, high-end graphic comes into play with these 2D, 3D accelerators to provide high-end graphic, but also fast response times. So you kind of have a look and feel of what you're used to with your cell phones or tablets.
Okay, great. Yeah, there was a kind of a related question about graphics overlay capabilities. I think you talked a little bit about that in the display section later in your presentation. What kinds of overlay capabilities are there when you're combining the graphics with the video?
Yeah. So I see also here it says, or will that be done external to the sensor system? So typically image sensors do not provide the overlay function. That is a function, unless we're talking here maybe about the SoC sensors. So we absolutely have the IP available, so you can implement, depends on how many channels you have, if you want to overlay video on video or text graphics on video. We do have that IP in-house. We also have reference designs available for that.
Great. Does the USB 3 bridge also support audio?
Yes, it does. So you could have audio embedded in your HDMI coming in, or you could have audio embedded on your SDI. So the board or the reference design is capable of extracting the audio and then reformatting it to USB 3.
There's a question on just the process. You talked a lot about different capabilities in the Lattice FPGAs that complement sensors and other functions within the system. Can you talk a little bit about the process by which they can find and select these features that are available from Lattice and then potentially combine those capabilities with external intellectual property and or things that they're developing on their own for custom component.
Right. Okay. So this is exactly, this is a very good question. This is exactly what I was trying to also present here. So FPGAs can be used complementary. So we have these IP blocks available. Reference designs are on our website. IPs are in our toolchain. So you can kind of mix and match. You can start with a reference design, for example. You have a working functioning system, and then you can trim it down, continue adding your own IP pieces to it and finish up your design, or if you are planning to use a complementary ASSP or external chip, then you can do that as well. So the easiest is, obviously, you start off a reference design and then modify it to your needs.
Right, and then Lattice has the tools and everything to integrate your IP blocks with external IP blocks and custom design ones.
This is correct. This is correct. You definitely can also import your own designs, obviously, into the toolchain, yeah.
Okay. There's a question, follow-on question about the 3D that we talked about. Does that mean OpenGLES support? Is there a graphics IP?
No, I mean, when I talked about the trends, so in general, yes, there's all kind of solutions out there, including OpenGL. On the when we are more specific on the HMI solution, the one that I discussed at the end, so that is a 2D graphic accelerator. It is hard-coded.
There's a question about the HDR60 mainboard. Is it only used for bridging, or can they do face detection in the FPGA without a DSP?
Okay. So the HDR60 kit in general is a camera development kit. It's not just for use for bridging applications. The FPGA is large enough. It's an ECP370. 70 stands for 70,000 lookup tables or LUTs, 70K LUTs. And it's large enough to implement also a face detection algorithm. So the face detection algorithm from Ronda software has been implemented in the fabric. It's not a software or CPU-based solution. But again, the HDR6 development kit can be used for image sensor bridging functions, but the FPGA on this kit is large enough so you can implement image signal processing functions and algorithms or even H.264 encoding solutions inside of this chip that is on the Lattice HDR60 kit board. Now, on the other side, if your design is smaller, bridging is all you need. You can use the kit for prototyping, but for mass production, you would not use this large size FPGA. You would more likely use a smaller FPGA device, such as our XO2 family or XO3 family.
Great. One of your presentation slides, I think it was on the application section, talked about machine vision standards. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what these standards are. Are they ISO standards, kind of de facto industrial standards?
Right. So machine vision has its own standards. Those are industrial standards. There is a consortium in Europe, one in the U.S., one in Japan, and they have defined various machine vision standards. So I mentioned in the presentation GIG eVision. That is one of the standards. It's Ethernet-based, but it has been modified to meet machine vision requirements. Another one that is pretty new is the USB3 Vision. For example, USB3 Vision is also available on the USB3 board that I presented here. We have here also partner companies that have developed these technologies and ported these to our solutions. So there are various machine vision standards. CoaXPress is another one. Camera Link is another one. It is mainly to ensure that the transmitting device, your camera, can interact with the frame grabbers.
There's some questions about the reference designs with respect to cost. Can you, should they just call Lattice to find out, or is there any kind of website area where they can find out the cost and delivery logistics of the reference designs?
Yeah. So typically, Lattice reference designs are free of charge. Most of them are available for download. So when you go in the specific categories, you should be able to find them or just type in the search, some keywords, and hopefully you'll be able to find those reference designs. You can also find them, obviously, on our IP and reference design entry page, but then you would have to kind of scroll the list down or select which type you're looking for. If it's video-related, for example, you can select those. You should be able to find those. There's most often not an interaction with the salesperson needed. In some cases where the reference design has not been put publicly on the website for download, then you may have to call or contact your Lattice sales representative. But for the most part, you register online, and then you're able to just download those.
Great. There was a specific question on the multiple SDI to BT1120 about the availability of that specific thing on the Lattice website. Is that available there?
So this is a good example. So this one is not on the website right now. The design is available. So if there is anybody that is interested in this design, please contact your Lattice sales representative. Let them know that I introduced it in this webcast, and we'll see how we can make this available to you. So the reference design, yes, is available, but this one is not on the website.
Okay. And a third related question about where maybe they can get the MIPI interface designs.
MIPI. Here we have to be a little bit careful. This is kind of like MIPI. When we say MIPI, it's like when we say IEEE. So there are a lot of MIPI standards, same as there are a lot of IEEE standards. But I'm assuming we're referring to the ones that I discussed here in the presentation. So what we have are MIPI CSI2 reference designs. That's for interfacing with camera image sensors. And then we have MIPI DSI reference designs. Those are for interfacing with display devices. So these reference designs are available on the Lattice website. I might have had a link on one of the slides. If not, then please go to the Lattice website, type in MIPI, and it should take you to the MIPI landing page, and then you will see which MIPI standards are supported and for which MIPI standards reference designs are available. So the ones that I mentioned here in the presentation, those reference designs are available. You can download those, and it's free of charge.
Okay. Let's see here. The ECP5 FPGA was announced last week. Can I use Helion IP with the ECP5 FPGAs?
This is correct. So the ECP5 was just introduced, and as we go forward, we'll port more and more IP and reference designs to ECP5 and also make more and more reference platforms and boards available. But Helion ISP or IP cores, they are soft cores, and you can port those easily to ECP5. And plan is to also offer those in this for this technology.
Okay. Question about thermal imaging. Can you talk a little bit about the sensors that might be available for that, and what kind of special image processing requirements for thermal imaging applications might be required of the FPGA for those kinds of things?
Yeah, so thermal imaging sensors, they are special sensors. They obviously can receive signals based on temperature. The ISP pipeline that Helion has made available can be used, for example, to also process signals coming from thermal imaging sensors. I also know of some designs that Helion has done for customers utilizing their image signal processing pipeline for those. In thermal imaging, obviously, noise reduction is one of the characteristics that you have to utilize to clean up the image. But yes, the image signal processing pipeline is capable of processing also those kind of sensors.
Great. The Ancuras reference design for H.264 encoding, how low is the low latency for the encoding piece?
Yeah, this one I would have to refer you to the website or the technical documentation. I don't recall what that number was, but it is very low. The latency is very low.
Good. I guess we have reached the end of our webcast today. We want to thank everyone for attending, and thank you, Cambiz, for sharing your expertise and insights on this low-cost, low-power industrial video system solutions. We at Open Systems Media and Lattice Semiconductor also want to thank you, the audience, for attending today and contributing excellent questions remotely. This eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen within 24 hours, and an audio-only podcast version will also be made available there. You can do a web search with the keywords embedded space e-cast and find all of Open Systems Media eCasts available for download as MP3s. Thank you for attending, and have a great day.